This morning, we began a new series and didn't quite get everything out that I wanted to. Surprisingly, I know after 48 minutes you'd think I'd had it all said, but didn't get everything finished that I wanted to say this morning, and so I've struggled with which direction to go. But as I've prayed about that, I really feel that tonight it'd be good to go a completely different direction, and I want to invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. I'd say there's little else in this sin-cursed world harder than the death of a child. Amen. We live in a society today where we have become so dependent on doctors and medicine, surgeries, medical care, that it's become a rare thing. It's not that far removed that families struggle through the death of children on a regular basis. 100 years ago, right here where we live, children died regularly. And certainly that was a tragic thing. And so we've become a little bit desensitized to, or we've come through a time where we're just not accustomed to it like they were. And not that it was easier, because it happened all the time. I can't imagine anything worse in this life. And I want to share with you some things here from 2 Samuel chapter 12. And right off the bat, I want you to understand that in this example, this death came directly as a result from David's sin. Now, all death does not come directly from a parent's sin or a child's sin. Job and the death of his children wasn't because of anybody's particular sin. Everybody with me? But we also must understand that death is always a result, ultimately, of sin. Maybe it's not particular sin. Maybe it's not anyone in particular that has done something to bring that judgment. But we know that Adam's sin-cursed blood courses through our veins. And death is the curse that's on every one of us. And every one of us is faced with death. And the answer to that problem is not better drugs. It's not better medical procedures or surgeries. The only answer to the curse of sin is what these young ladies just sang about. It's the blood of Jesus. Amen. And the blood of Jesus doesn't simply cover our sin. The blood of Jesus takes away our sin. Amen. It gives us forgiveness. It gives us life everlasting. I can't imagine the heartbreak going on in the families who have lost their children this past week. I will be open with you to tell you tonight that there's nothing that terrifies me more. To have empathy for those families. And this message is important for our young people here tonight. I didn't know Maddie and I didn't know Caitlin, but I have lost friends. And I know what it's like to lose a friend. And so, if you would please stand with me, 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 15. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not. Neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace tonight, I pray that you would send mercy and grace to the hearts of everyone here, to the friends of these precious children, and especially to their families, both today and in the days and weeks and months and years to come, that you, the God of all comfort, would comfort their hearts. And Lord, I pray for those who don't trust in you, that this tragedy would not turn them away from you, but they would draw unto you, that they would repent of their sin and unbelief, that they would trust in Christ alone and be born again. Lord, please help us tonight as we look into your word. I pray your Holy Spirit would move and that you would help us to learn truths from your scriptures, and by the comfort and teaching of your Spirit, that we can just learn truth that will help us today and all the days of our time on this earth. Please help, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We know that David had sinned against God. He, at the time that kings went forth to battle, had lingered behind at Jerusalem. We know that in the evening he got up out of bed and went up on the rooftop. So he was doing a lot of things that he shouldn't have been doing. It appears that he was laying around in bed all day. It appears that he was content to let his generals go out and do the work that the king ought to do. And certainly David was not as young as he used to be and all those different things, but he was lingering behind, not where he should have been, not doing what he should have been doing, when he saw Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, bathing on another rooftop. He inquired after her. We know how he took her into himself. He lay with her, committed adultery with her. And then when he found out that she was pregnant, he tried to cover it up. He sent for Uriah, brought him home, thought, well, he'll come home and then he'll lay with his wife and nobody will be any wiser. But Uriah was a man of integrity. I'm not going to go home to my wife. I'm not going to sleep in my bed. My brethren are out at the war. My brethren are sleeping in tents. My brethren are bleeding and dying for Israel. And I'm not about to go home to my wife. David tried to get him drunk, succeeded. Thought, if I just get him inebriated, then he'll go home and still have a chance to cover up my sin. But he would not. So when David figured out that he wasn't going to be able to cover up the sin that way, he wrote a letter that was basically the death sentence for Uriah. He put his seal on it and put it in his own hand. And Uriah carried it back. They put Uriah in the hottest part of the battle. They all drew back to make sure that Uriah would be killed, and he was. When David got word that Uriah was dead, he sent for Bathsheba and took her as his own wife. She was with child, and the child was born, but Nathan the prophet, we don't know a lot about Nathan, but we know that he was a mighty man of God. He was a courageous man of God, because he very boldly took the message of God to the king of the land, who could have easily had him killed, but he gave the story, you remember, of the poor man's lamb that he had raised up as his own daughter. And some of you are like that. Your pets are just precious to you. And he had raised this lamb up as his own child. And the rich man had a traveler come. Somebody came to stay at his house, and he wanted to fix him a meal when he came. But instead of taking one out of his own flock, he took the poor man's lamb, and he killed it and fed it to the traveler that had come to his house. Well, David was furious when Nathan told him. And he said, that man will die for what he's done. And Nathan, boy, I don't know about you, but I can just see him standing before the throne. I can see him pointing the finger. Thou art the man. David had sinned greatly. Adultery and murder. In our understanding today, friends, we just can't hardly get any worse than that, can we? But David was a man after God's own heart. He didn't make excuses. He didn't blame shift. He simply cried out, I have sinned against the Lord. I would encourage you to study Psalm 51. It's his prayer of repentance. He cries out to God for his mercy and his grace, and God forgives him of his sin. But David still has to deal with the consequences. And God, in his sovereignty, proclaimed that the child that was born out of wedlock, this illegitimate child, would not live. Some of you may have a hard time with that, but I implore you to not try to elevate your sense of justice against God's. God is just. And friends, we have no idea what life would have held for that child. We have no idea what could have happened or couldn't have happened. Only God knows. But what we do know is that the Lord struck the child, and the child was very sick. And we read in verse 16, David besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. The elders of his house arose and tried to get him to get up and eat, but he wouldn't. And for 7 days, David was on his face, fasting and praying for the child to live. Went to see Easton's mom and dad a couple of times this week. They look like they haven't slept in days. And you can't hardly get them to eat anything. Because their hearts are desperately seeking God to help their baby live. It was about a year ago that Shaden got sick. And seeing that baby girl hooked up to all those machines was one of the hardest things I've ever seen in my life. And her mom and dad went days and days without eating, without sleeping. For months they were in the hospital with her, day in and day out. These are not easy things. And we do not understand why some live and why some die, except to know two things. Death is the result of sin, and God is sovereign over everything. He gives and he takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As he pleaded with God for 7 days, the baby died, the child died. When they saw that the child was dead, the servants of David feared, verse 18, to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? And I want you to notice verse 19. When David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore said, David said unto the servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. David had been pleading with God. He had been on his face fasting and praying and pleading with God for day after day after day after day. He loved the child. And he knew the pronouncement that Nathan had given him from God, but he pleaded with God because he knows that God is a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. And so he continued to pray and he continued to fast and he wouldn't give up, because as long as the child was alive, there was still hope. And he was vexed himself so much that the servants were terrified. We've seen how he's mistreated himself. He hasn't taken care of himself. He hasn't eaten in days. And what's he going to do when he finds out that the child is dead? Verse 20. This is the response of a man that knows God. This is the response of a man who is not living for an earthly kingdom, but is living for a heavenly kingdom. This is the response of a man whose focus is not on the here and now, but his focus is on eternity. This is the response of a man who has the Spirit of God in his life. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. And then he came into his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. David had gone 7 days without eating. 7 days he had fasted and prayed. 7 days he laid on his face pleading with God to save the life of the child. And after 7 days of all that, when he heard the child was dead, he did not run into the kitchen to get something to eat. He got up, he cleaned himself, he put on clean clothes because he was going to the house of God. He washed himself, he put on clean clothes to go to God's house, and he went to the house of the Lord and he worshiped God. I cannot begin to pretend like I have any idea. I told you the truth. One of my greatest fears is that one of my children would die, and I pray to God that I would have the faith to get up and be in the house of God to worship God. That I would worship him. That I wouldn't revile him. That I wouldn't cry out against him. That I wouldn't blame him. That I would worship him. He got himself cleaned up. He washed himself. And he went to the house of the Lord and worshiped. And when he came home, he required, in other words, he said, give me something to eat to his servants, and they got him something to eat. And look at verse 21. His servants were confused. And if you saw somebody respond this way, you might be confused too. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. David was anointed by God. Certainly, he put himself in danger of losing that anointing because of his sin. But because of his repentance, when faced with his sin, God's Spirit remained with him to empower him. And God was gracious unto him, but there were still consequences because of his sin. And when the child died, he said, as long as the child was alive, I fasted and I wept. Because I don't know. How am I to know? There's always hope. We don't know what's going to happen. And we can hope against hope because we know that God is able. You see, David never questioned whether God could do it or not. He knew that God could save the child's life. He knew that God could be gracious, that he could give what he didn't deserve. David didn't deserve for the child to live. David didn't deserve to live. Friends, we need to understand this today, and I know this is going to come across really hard, but please hear me. None of us deserve to live. We are all born with the sin curse. We have, somebody said it this way, our spiritual DNA is messed up. We have a spiritual birth defect. We are doomed to death. We are born to die. That's the way it is. And so we all have the curse on us. Death abides on any of us. And sometimes we talk about children as though they're innocent, and they are in a sense that they haven't willfully chosen to sin against God. But in another sense, they're not innocent because we have original sin. We're guilty. We all have an appointment with death, and only God knows. Who knows if God would be gracious that the child may live. But I want you to really get verse 23. But now he is dead. Wherefore, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? This is why losing a loved one is so hard. Because we can't bring them back. Amen. We've got some really young ones here tonight, and maybe they don't know, but almost everyone here knows what it's like to lose someone you love. Don't you? And it's hard because we miss them. And those waves of grief come just like waves. There's some days, sometimes it's easy, and sometimes it's so hard, it's overwhelming. Have you ever been in the ocean, anybody? Would you raise your hand if you've been in the ocean? Were you amazed at the power of the waves? You know, I grew up going to the lake. And we get a few little waves, but it's nothing like being in the ocean. And the power of those waves, and that's what it's like, our emotions. Those emotions come, and it's like a wave, and they will knock you down and pin you to the bottom. And then other times, they'll pick you back up. It's crazy. And that's what our emotions are like when we've lost someone that we love, and it's crazy the things that will trigger those memories, isn't it? Somebody will say something, the way somebody laughs, the smell. You hear somebody's voice. It's just such little things that'll just bring it all flooding back sometimes. And listen to me, I know. And it's so hard because we can't bring them back again. But look, dear friends, please look. I shall go to him. When that child died, that child was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And we can't bring them back, but we can go to them. Amen. You see, God in his grace, He didn't bring the child back to life. He didn't let the child live, but he did something better. He took the child into his own presence forever. I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Friends, we have hope against hope. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, as Paul writes to the Corinthians there, he says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Amen. God alone can give us the comfort that we need. Amen. I want you to look with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. And just remind you very quickly of this great truth. First Thessalonians 4:13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not." Now we understand asleep here is not laying down to take rest, but we're talking about people who have died in Christ. "Concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope." Amen. The loss of a loved one is a time of sorrow, to be sure, but it is not sorrow without hope, and there is a dramatic difference. There's a drastic difference between sorrowing without hope and sorrowing with hope. Amen. If you've ever seen a family who's lost a loved one and they don't know if they're saved or not, it's a terrible thing. Amen. But there is something else when you lose someone who's taken home and they knew the Lord and it was evident in their life that they knew the Lord. There's something else. It's a sorrowful time, but there's also a joy. Amen. There's an expectancy. There's a hope. Amen. Some of you knew my grandma, Retta Bennett. Brother Steve knew her. My grandma was a faithful woman in the church. She was also a tough woman, not to be trifled with. Amen. And before she passed away, hospice care had come into her home, and I sat with her just about a week before she died, and I said, "Grandma, are you ready?" And she said, "Oh, honey, I've been ready a long time."
Amen.
And it was sad when we buried Grandma Retta. But there's also joy in my heart because I knew that she was ready. These children who pass away who haven't reached the age of accountability like David's child, listen to me, they have the curse of sin, but they also have the grace of God.
Amen.
We like to call it the age of accountability. You can label it whatever you want to, but that child went to be with the Lord.
Amen.
Their eternity is settled just like these who died in Christ. So we sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen, if you died, I keep telling you guys, one of these days this vein right here is going to pop while I'm preaching. What a way to go.
Amen.
And I told you, if my dead body falls up here on the platform, you just roll me out of the way and somebody get up here and finish the sermon. Amen? I'll be fine. But there, when we die, it's separation. Our spirit leaves our body and it goes to be with the Lord. Our bodies are left behind. And that's what he's talking about. Those that are dead in Christ, they're asleep in the sense that their body is laid to rest. But their spirit is with the Lord. Their spirit is alive. We're not dead in the sense that we think sometimes. We're more alive in that moment than ever before because our spirit is in the presence of Jesus. But when the rapture happens, he's going to pull all those bodies up and he's going to glorify those bodies and reunite those bodies with the spirit, glorified and perfect like his forever and ever.
Amen.
And they get to go first.
Amen.
Seems fair to me.
Amen.
And if the rapture happens before we die, friends, as soon as, and this is all going to happen faster than it takes light to twinkle off your eyeball. In a fraction of a second, all of those, their bodies will be brought up, glorified, reunited with their spirits in the heavens. And then we which are alive remain be caught up in our bodies with our spirits all together, glorified and present with God forever and ever.
Amen.
See, when we look at death in the light of eternity, it changes everything. My heart breaks for these families. I fear for the others who have sick loved ones. We wait and see. We plead with God. We fast and we pray and we weep because we don't know if God will be gracious and spare their life or not, or if God will be gracious and take them on to heaven. But if they know the Lord, or they're a child, and if we know the Lord, then I shall go to them.
Amen.
Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Why didn't God save the child's life? Why did he let the child die? I have no idea. Why do some of these kids at the children's hospitals, why do some live and some don't? I have no idea. Why am I still alive where my friends who died before me are gone and have been gone for, some of them have been gone for 20 years? Why them and not me? I don't know. But I trust my God. And I know that he knows. And I will continue to trust him by his grace. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a verse of invitation tonight. And like we've been doing, this is a song of worship. It's part of our worship. We're going to sing the song. If the Lord's convicting your heart, you need to come down here and pray. You come. If you need to counsel, if you need me to counsel with you or anybody else, your Sunday school or Wednesday night teacher, you go get them. If you need to pray right where you are, but listen, let's worship God with this song tonight. Let's be like David, not in his sin, but in his repentance and in his worship. If there's anything not right with you and the Lord tonight, get it right. And as you face these tragedies, as you face the tribulations of this life, don't become bitter. Worship him. Job is a perfect picture of how we should deal with tragedy in our lives. Maintain your integrity. God gives, he takes away, he's blessed no matter what.
Amen.
Worship him tonight while we sing.